This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathiran. My brothers and sisters, we are in the death and hereafter class. And we looked at the deeds which, in the last class, we looked at the deeds which result in su al-khatima, in a bad ending, and in azab of the qabr. This class we will look at the opposite of that, which is good deeds, inshallah. It's deeds which will, inshallah, result in protection from the azab of the qabr. The first of that is good deeds. And as I said, Islam is a name of a practice. It's not a theory, it's not a philosophy. You don't get any points for knowing about Islam, but you get a lot of hasanat and a lot of benefit about practicing Islam. Knowing about Islam without practicing is actually a burden. It's a evil thing, because that knowledge becomes a witness against you on the Day of Judgment. So I'm not discouraging you from learning. Of course you should learn, but learn with the intention of practicing, and practice it to the best of your ability. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask Allah to forgive our shortcomings. The first thing that is beneficial for the human being is good deeds. Rasulullah ﷺ said, when the dead person is buried, he will be able to hear the footsteps of the people leaving the cemetery. Then his good deeds will surround him. Salah will be by his head, fasting on his right, zakat will come on his left side, and the other good deeds will be by his feet, and they will all protect him from all sides. Salah by the head, fasting on the right, zakat on the left, and the other good deeds at the feet, and they will surround him and protect him from all sides. Salah will be by the head if you have prayed. Zakat will be on the left if I have paid zakat. Fasting will be on my right if I have fasted. Other good deeds will be at my feet, and they will surround me if I did them. Please understand this. Many times people say, oh, please make dua for me. We make dua for you. But if you are not praying, that dua is worthless. It is not going to help you. So let us get our act together. Let us understand that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fard, Allah did not do it for his benefit, because nothing benefits Allah and nothing harms Allah. Allah ta'ala made it fard for our benefit. So let us joyfully fulfill what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory on ourselves. Joyfully, not reluctantly, joyfully. Then the other thing is, somebody who is shaheed fi sabilillah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is free from the trials of the qabr. Forgiveness is the first drop of blood. He will see his place in Jannah. He is saved from the punishment of the qabr. He is saved from the fear of the Day of Judgment. A crown of tranquility is placed on his head. One emerald in it is worth more than all that is contained in this world. And he will be given intercession, shafa'at, for 70 of his relatives. Rasulullah said that the shining of the swords in battle was his trial. After that, there is no other trial for the shaheed. The pain of death by shahada is like the pricking of a thorn or the bite of an insect. May Allah give us shahada. Rasulullah said, the one who dies without a desire for shahada, has his iman is questionable. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to stand for the truth and against falsehood, to stand for the oppressed against the oppressors, and to do that fearing no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Third one is al-murabit. It's a soldier who's guarding a camp or post. Rasulullah says the deeds of all people end with death, but the deeds of the murabit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes them to go on increasing until the Day of Judgment, and they give him protection from fitnatul qabr. Now, guarding is in a physical sense, of course, as a soldier, if that is the opportunity, but also it is somebody who is guarding against all attacks on the deen in different ways. And some people are guarding it literally, in a literary way, by writing and by speaking and so on and so forth, and by spending in good causes. So inshallah, all of these will be counted as people who guard it. People who stay up late at night doing research in order to answer any attacks on Islam, any anti-Islamic, Islamophobic stuff, all of these people inshallah will be counted as the murabitun, people who guarded the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one who is saved from the fitnatul qabr, from the punishment of the qabr, is the one who dies on Jum'ah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Any Muslim who dies on a Friday, Allah will spare him from the fitnatul qabr. Awkama khala alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Please remember, my brothers and sisters, that all of these things, somebody who dies on a Friday, somebody who dies in Salah, somebody who dies while he was fasting, all these signs, I mean, somebody who dies on, say, Laylatul Qadr or something, all of these are subject to that person having been a person of Tawheed, who did not join partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was not involved in bid'at and inventing all kinds of things in the name of religion, and a person who was pious, meaning that a person did not usurp and oppress other people, right? These are all preconditions. If you spent your whole life swallowing up other people's properties and oppressing other people and causing harm to other people, and then on Laylatul Qadr or wherever, right, you happen to die, I mean, this is, of course, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive who He wants to forgive, but please understand, all of these basharat of good signs of time and place and so on are subject to the person's being a good Muslim. Because after all, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul died in Medina, and he was his janaza was prayed by Rasulullah himself, and he was buried in the shirt, in the cloak of Rasulullah. Now, what is bigger barakah than that? What is bigger barakah than being buried in the shirt of the Rasul alayhi salam, and of having Rasulullah himself doing your salatul janaza, which is the dua of maghfirah? There is impossible. There is no barakah which can be bigger than this barakah. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran and said that even if you ask, Ya Rasulullah, even if you ask forgiveness for him, meaning this him and people like him, 70 times Allah will not forgive them. What does that tell us? Allah is not reprimanding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reiterating the importance of iman and amalul salih. Allah is saying, here was a man who did not have iman, and here is a man who spent his whole life trying to harm the Nabi alayhi salam. And therefore, even if the Nabi forgives him, because the Nabi is full of mercy, he has a big heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his justice, it's not that Allah is not merciful, Allah is merciful, but Allah is also just. So through his justice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold him accountable and will not forgive him, meaning Allah will punish him. So let us get our act clear and clean. All nawafil, all extra work, I am giving charity, I am doing this, I am doing that, I am in this group and in this organization, and all of that is valid, and it is good, and it is beautiful, and it is powerful, and it will help you, provided the fundamentals are correct. If the foundation of the building is not dug deep enough, and you try to construct this skyscraper, it will come crashing down. The first thing you do when you are constructing a building is to dig the foundation. And therefore, the faraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the haram and halal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for us, These are the foundations of the building called Islam. So let us make sure that we don't destroy the foundations and then we rely on the superstructure, because there is no superstructure. If the foundation is weak, if the foundation is non-existent, superstructure collapses. Now, here also let me say, how do you answer respond to the one who denies the Adabul Qabr on the grounds that if he were to open a grave, he would not see any change or notice that it was constricted or widened, he will not find fire in it, he will not find somebody there with a hammer and, you know, doing things to people, he will not find any of that. So how can we refute, or how can you answer them? Before I give you the answer, let me tell you the best answer for people like this who ask you these questions is to walk away. Walk away, leave them alone. Don't talk to them, don't argue with them. Tell them, please go and talk to a scholar. I believe, alhamdulillah, and I'm not interested in talking to you. The reason I'm saying that is because shaitan comes in many forms. And one of the forms in which shaitan comes very often is in the form of the questioner. I'm not denigrating or discounting or deploring somebody who is asking a question sincerely. I am not doing that. But I know, and you know, that I can't go into somebody's heart to see if there is sincerity or not. So any questions like this, the best thing is point him in the direction of the scholar. Let the scholar do that job. It's not my job, it's not your job. So walk away. Say goodbye. If you are put on the spot and you have to answer, then here is something. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, one who denies the torment of the grave on the grounds that if he were to open a grave, he would not see any change, may be answered in the following ways. Firstly, the torment of the grave, the punishment of the grave is proven according to the Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, concerning the people of Fir'aun, interpretation of the meaning, the ayat from Surah Al-Ghafir, ayah number 46, النَّارُ يُورَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيَّةً وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ وَالْيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ النَّارُ يُورَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيَّةً وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. The fire, they are exposed to it morning and afternoon, and on the day when the hour is established, that is the day of judgment, it will be said, it will be ordered, it will be said to the angels, cause Firaun's people to enter the severest torment. Cause the Pharaoh and his people to be punished in the worst way. Very clear. Where is this? Allah is talking here about two events. One is being exposed to the fire morning and night. And on the day when the hour is established, what does it tell you? It tells you there are two different things. So where is the fire to which they are being, what time is that when they are being exposed to the fire? That is in the Alam al-Barzakh, that is in what we call the grave, but it doesn't, you don't have to be buried in a grave for that. That alam refers to Alam al-Barzakh. That is the world in which we will go to when we die. In that world, they are being exposed to the fire, they are being burnt day and night. And then on the day of judgment, they will be thrown into punishment which is worse than that. This is the proof and the evidence from the Quran that the azab of the qabr, that the punishment of the grave is real, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, were it not that you would not bury one another, I would have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you hear the torment of the grave that I can hear. Then he turned to us, he said to the sahaba, seek refuge with Allah from the torment of the fire. And the sahaba said, we seek refuge with Allah from the torment of the fire. He says, seek refuge with Allah from the torment of the grave. And they said, we seek refuge with Allah from the torment of the grave. In another hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Rasulullah said concerning the believer, his grave will be made spacious for him as far as the eye can see. So there is punishment, there is also reward. Alamul Barzakh can be a beautiful thing for us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. And it can be a place of great pain and suffering, and we ask Allah for protection from this. All of that, whether it is this or that, depends on what we do in this life. So, Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, and there are other texts also, so it's not permissible to object or reject these texts because of our mistaken notions. Rather, we must believe them and submit. Secondly, the torment of the grave happens to the soul, and it's not something that has a physical effect. If it had a physical effect, it would not be a matter of belief in the unperceivable, in the ghaib, and believing in it would not serve any purpose. But it's one of the matters of the unseen and the unperceivable. The way things are in al-barzakh cannot be compared to the way things are in this world. Thirdly, torment and blessing, whether the grave is widened or constricted, are matters that the deceased feels, but others do not. And this is like a man may see in his dream while he is lying in his bed that he is standing and coming and going, or hitting or being hit, or whatever he is looking and living a whole story. He may see, say, himself in a confined and frightening place, or in a spacious and pleasant place, but those around him cannot see or feel any of that which he is feeling in his dream. What we are obliged to do regarding such matters is to say, Sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey and we believe and we affirm. So it is very important for us to understand this. And again, one of the greatest proofs is that Rasulullah ﷺ used to make dua for protection from punishment of the grave. And this is, there was no punishment of the grave from his ﷺ. But he made this dua to teach us to make this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an-nar wa a'udhu bika min adhabil qabr wa a'udhu bika min fitnatil mahyai wa mamat wa na'udhu bika min fitnatil masihid dajjal. Yeah, this is the dua that we make in salah, in tashahud, right at the end after doing everything else. O Allah, save me from the punishment of the fire, and save me from the punishment of the grave, and save me from all the difficulties and trials and tribulations of life and death, and save me from the fitna, the trial of the Dajjal. Now, if there is no azab in the khabar, then what is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asking protection from? And if the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking protection from the azab of the khabar, then how do you believe anybody else who says that there is no azab in the khabar? Let them go and find out whether there is azab in the khabar or not. You don't argue with them. We believe what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. What the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said and did is deen. Anything else, believe in a democracy. Do what you want. Now, some ignorant people, this is the other side of the story. Some ignorant people get themselves confused with the issue of life after death, and they commit shirk by asking those who are dead for help instead of asking Allah. In defense of their haram action, they present the following ayat as evidence. And they say, Allah said that the shuhada are not dead. So also awliya and anbiya are not dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, and do not say of those who are killed in the way of Allah with the martyrs that they are dead. Nay, they are living, but you do not perceive it. Also in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Think not and do not imagine and do not believe that those who are killed in the path of Allah, who are martyrs, are dead. They are not dead, they are alive and with their Rabb, and they are getting rizq, they are getting provision. Incidentally, these ayat are proof of the life of the barzakh. What such people need to understand is that the operative question is not if people are alive or not, but whether they can hear us or they can do anything for us. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly that the people in the graves cannot hear us and cannot do anything for us. Now you might say, well, Allah said this, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you are walking away, people hear your footsteps. That is at that time only. At that time only. And as I said, whether they can hear or not hear, whether they can see or not see, whether they can, whether they are alive or dead is not the question. The question is, can they do anything for you? Everybody is alive. Otherwise, the azab of the qabr is being done on who? On dead? The people on whom there is punishment. They feel the punishment. They feel the pain of the punishment. The people of Firaun, Pharaoh himself and his courtiers and all those who followed him, when they are being burned, they are feeling the pain of burning. The Anbiya alayhimu salam and the Salihin, and I'm deliberately not using the word Awliya Allah because I will come to that to explain that to you differently. But they are all, obviously all of them are Awliya Allah, and we'll come and we'll see what is the meaning of Awliya. So the point is that all of them whose graves have been expanded and the graves are like gardens from the gardens of Jannah, who are feeling the beautiful breeze of the Jannah, they are feeling it. Both are alive. The question is, can they do something? Let me give you an example. Say for example that your wife is expecting. She is pregnant. Right? 7 months, 8 months pregnant. The baby is almost fully developed, about to come out into this world. You have just been to the hospital, you did a scan, and you have the scan, the CD of the scan is with you. And alhamdulillah, the baby is healthy, the baby is kicking and moving and everything else. Absolutely no hassle. So now when you come home, you are sitting next to your wife. Now you bend down, you go near her belly, and you say to the baby, you're speaking to the baby, right? You say to the baby, tell your mother to give me a cup of tea. Right? You're bending down there, and you're speaking to the baby in the belly of your wife, and you're saying, tell your mother to give me a cup of tea. Now, just think about this. Now, if you're doing that as a joke, well, alhamdulillah, no problem. We all have a good laugh. But if you seriously think that your wife can't hear you, imagine, right? That if you seriously think that you are speaking to that baby and that baby is going to communicate to his mother, and they, because of what the baby said to her, she is going to make you a cup of tea, then I would say that, you know, you are insane. I mean, you need medical help. You need to go see a psychiatrist. Now, if I tell you, for example, if I am watching this and I know it's not a joke and you're serious, and I tell you, how are you talking to the baby? Right? And you get angry, you say, no, but baby's alive. See, here's my CD. Let me put it on the TV for you, on the computer for you. You can see, the baby is alive. Baby's alive. You might even argue and say, baby is alive, baby can hear me. My submission to you is, it's not a question of whether the baby is alive or not alive. It's not a question of whether the baby can hear you or not hear you. The question is, the baby cannot do anything for you. You want a cup of tea, you will either have to ask your wife for it, or if she is in that condition, it's better you go make the tea yourself and make some tea for her as well. Right? Talking to the baby is not going to get you tea. That is the state of the people in the qabr. They are in the qabr. They are alive. Everybody is alive. The good ones are alive. The evil ones are alive. What is happening to them is happening to them. They are getting, some of them are enjoying it, and some of them are not enjoying it. But as far as you are concerned, they can do nothing for you. So if you stand at their qabr and you make dua and you say so and so, please give me this and that. And if you really believe that, then that is open shirk. You have committed shirk. If you make dua and you believe and you say, oh, so and so, please ask Allah to give me this and that, I know all these arguments are placed. So you are saying now, no, no, I'm not asking this person, whoever that person is, I am asking them to make dua to Allah for me to get it. Same argument. They cannot do it. Quite apart from the fact, if you want to go into the logical aspect of it, you are standing there at the grave of somebody who did not know you, who more than likely cannot understand your language, who did not know you, so he doesn't recognize you. And you are making this dua. And like you, there are, especially some of these dargahs and maqams, which are very popular with people. You will have hundreds, you will have thousands of people. Now all the, if you imagine, and if you believe that all those thousands of people are going there, multiple languages, they are speaking in all kinds of languages, none of those people was known to that individual in his or her qabr. And that individual is capable of understanding all of them, all the different languages which they did not know when they were alive. And if they are capable of recognizing every single one of that of those people who they never knew, and they are able to either do something for them directly, or they are able to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something for them, then one of two things. Either you are insane, or you are a mushrik. You are committing shirk. Because the only one who recognizes every human being is the one who created human beings. Your Rabb and my Rabb recognizes us because He made us. The only one who can understand every language is the one who created language, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who remembers everything that anyone ever says and who is capable of granting what everyone can ever ask is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you believe this about anybody else, including about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, beyond whom there is no daraja for anybody. There is no wali, there is no awliya, there is no sahabi, there is no nobody who has a level and a darja and a station higher than that of Rasulullah. If you believe this about even him, then you have committed open shirk. Make istighfar and tawbah. If you are listening to this video, it means you are alive. So alhamdulillah, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Don't even wait for this video to finish. Immediately fall in sujood, make istighfar and tawbah, and tell, ask Allah to forgive you, and recite the kalama and come back into Islam, and stop doing these completely insane things, which is going to the khubur and going to the graves of people and asking them for favors, or asking them to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينِ It is nothing on me more than to tell you, and I have told you as clearly as I can. As far as listening and hearing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fatir, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْمِعُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ Who is the anta here? Who is the you? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is he saying? He said, not alike, they are not the same, the living and the dead. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make whoever He wants to hear. But you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cannot make those who are in their graves to hear. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that you cannot make somebody in their grave to hear, you cannot make them hear, do you think you can make them hear? You think I can make them hear? The people in their graves, they cannot hear you. Now people will give you an argument. They will say Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to the dead in the well after the battle of Badr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you find the promise of Allah to be true? And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came and he said, Ya Rasulullah, you are speaking to the dead. They cannot hear you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, by the one in whose hand is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they can hear me better than you can hear me. This is Sahih. This happened. Is this a contradiction of the ayat of Surah Al-Fatir, where Allah said, you cannot make them hear? No. It is a confirmation of the ayat. Where Allah said, if Allah wants to make them here, Allah can make them here, but you cannot make them here. Meaning that if Allah wants your voice to reach them, He will make that to happen. But if you just come and you want to talk to them, and this is not the Mashiyat, and this is not the Marzi, and this is not the will of Allah, it will not happen. This is confirmation of the ayah. This is also one of the miracles, one of the mu'jizat of Rasulullah. It is that time, and that time, and that place only. As an example, the Quran tells us that Rasulullah split the moon. Did he split the moon? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, make the ishara, make the signal with your finger and Allah will split the moon. Allah did that. Do you think every time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that, the moon split? Musa alayhi salam, Allah told him, strike the sea with your staff. He struck the sea and what happened? The sea parted. 12 roads were made. Water was standing vertically like walls between the roads. And the tribes of Bani Israel crossed the sea safely. And the same sea which stood up, water stood up vertically to protect the Bani Israel, the same water drowned the Pharaoh and his army. But do you think every time Musa alayhi salam struck water, the sea parted? No. If he struck water with his stick, the water would have splashed on him. That is all. Mu'jizat, miracles are time specific, they are instant specific, they are person specific. The mu'jiza of the Nabi is to display the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that time, in that place, for that time. It is not dalil against the Quran. Final one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى وَلَا تُسْمِعُ الصُّمَّ الدُّعَاءِ إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ. Allah said in Surah An-Naml, verily you cannot make the dead to hear, Ya Rasulullah, nor can you make the deaf to hear the call when they flee turning their backs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that just like people who are born deaf cannot hear you if you call them, also refers to those who are so steeped in their rebelliousness and in their kufr that they do not want to listen to the Nabi alayhi salam. Allah is saying they are like the dead who also cannot hear you. You cannot make them hear. Allah is saying very clearly that just like those who are born deaf cannot hear you, even though they are alive, the dead likewise cannot hear you, even though they are alive in al-barzakh. The only exception is the blessed person of Rasulullah ﷺ, for whom it is a special dispensation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he told us in a hadith that when we send salat and salam durood on him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel with that durood to inform Rasulullah ﷺ about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salawat, 10 blessings on the one who sends durood and salam on Rasulullah ﷺ one time. You say the durood one time, Allah sends 10 blessings on you. This is a special miracle, a special mu'jiza, which continues and will continue till the day of judgment to honor Rasulullah ﷺ. And like many other matters, it does not apply to anybody else. The Sahaba asked him, what was the best way to send salam on him? He taught them durood Ibrahimi, which we read in Tashahud in Salah. He did not prescribe all the other ways of sending salam that Muslims practice today, including standing collectively, standing in a circle, singing the salam, and all such innovations and deviations which are from the blessed sunnah, deviations from the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, we will talk more about this and we will come to in the next class. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.